Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 290 of Her. Yeah, man, I'm just exhausted thinking. 290. Oh, the sweat is pouring off my female forehead. This is the podcast where you're going to hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her radical rules to rock resilience. Oh my gosh, I'm into alliteration too. Oh well, we have a terrific show and a very, very special guest. Before we begin, just know that this episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to smartypantsvitamins.com. Okie doke. Now, here's your first reminder to click on iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show because, oh, heck, I just love hearing from you. Your feedback is just the best. So please make sure to rate and review when we're all done. Ah, okay, deep cleansing breath. All right, it's time for Her.
Her. The podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind. Her body. Her life. It's all about her.
This is a really special episode. This is something I'm going to be calling Dr. Peek Speaks. And today, we're going to be talking about a woman's radical rules to rock resilience. Now, in order to do this well, I said to myself, should I just be doing this alone? Yeah, I've done them alone. You know, I have 290 episodes. Few of those I've done alone just to really kind of let it rip out there. And then I decided, why not make this like a girlfriend thing and share it with my BFF? Yep, my BFF is on the show. Her name is Naomi Henderson. Naomi is possibly one of the most amazing people I've ever met. I'm horribly biased. Yes, that's true. We have known each other for over 25 years. She knows things about me and now she has power over me. Well, we'll go there later on. Naomi is an entrepreneur par excellence, has had her own company as an entrepreneur for, get this, 39 years. She's gunning for that 40th year, and then she'll probably just face plant and call it a day. However, until she gets there, she is just rocking it in her own sphere. Naomi, welcome to my wonderful Her podcast.
Thank you, Pam. I'm happy to be here. And yes, resilience is something that I know a lot about. So I'm looking forward to the questions and indicating how I've managed it over all the years, not only in running a business, but in running a life.
Uh-huh. Well, this is one of the reasons why you've been so special to me for so long. Seriously. I come to you, you come to me. We talk each other off ledges, don't we? And that means that
we do.
Oh yeah, man. We have to kind of know how to be able to you know, kind of female splain the whole, you know, resilience thing, because, you know, I think we do it a little bit differently than men. What do you think?
Absolutely. I was just talking to somebody last night, my niece, as a matter of fact, and we were talking about how men and women handle the concept of failing in the business world, not just failing in general. So, and I used an example from my husband's life. So he had a business, and through circumstances beyond his control, he wound up having to close it. And that was the end of that business. And he mourned it. He was sad about it. And then he kind of went into a deep dive, and it was hard for him to come up out of it, because failing in business looked like to him failing at life. And I've had numerous women friends who started businesses and then didn't work out, and they started another one. And it looked to me, if I were going to make a grand gesture about men and women differences, that women look at failure in the business world, well, that didn't work out, I'll have to do something different. And then they may start another one or start it again or fix that one that was broken. And I've seen it happen more than once, and sometimes it's painful, to watch how people handle failure. But the issue about failing in business is you could maybe go get a job and work for somebody else. But once you've been an entrepreneur, you really don't want to go back. You really want to find another way to make it work. And I know for me, Riva is my third business. The first two, you know, started out well, good business plan, had a mission, had clients, but circumstances turned out they didn't work. It didn't work either like I wanted it to, or it just didn't work. And so it took me three shots to finally go, okay, I think I got a formula, I think I got this, and I'm off and running. And like you said, next year, 40th anniversary.
And so if I can do this, and I'm going to dive in here a little bit. So what I'm hearing in our Women's Radical Rules to Rock Resilience is that I think that I'm not going to be overly, you know, general here, but I think that oftentimes women also have the ability to count on other resources instead of taking it like, you know, being alone and saying I'm all alone with my thoughts and I just failed and I'm a miserable failure and this is all bad. To, you know, let me talk this out with a few women, friends of mine. And let me see if I can suss out something differently. And then we do, yes siree, the pivot. We just pivot. We say, okay, well, that didn't work. Let's go over here. And actually, it's not just, you know, smart business people and entrepreneurs who know how to pivot, because they clearly do. But I think that it's really important for everyone in life, especially women, to learn how to be able to just take a moment, take a deep breath. Don't get too anxious here. Look at the situation. Maybe sleep on it. Maybe take a walk in the park. Talk to some friends. And then after you've done that mental marination, you pivot off that one place. You go, that didn't work. And I'm going to go over here and do something else. So I think pivoting is a real radical rule that women in general need to be able to feel very comfortable with. What about my famous A squared? Okay, what's my A squared? Ah, yes. To be able to rock resilience, you have to do two things.
Adapt. And adjust.
That's right, man. Adapt and adjust. As Charles Darwin once said, it's not the smartest who survive or the strongest. It's those who can adapt. And that's really important. And that's part of that pivot thing. You know, you're kind of adapting and adjusting. So how are you adapting and adjusting around this whole COVID viral pandemic? Give us some examples.
Well, it was certainly not by choice that I had to put A squared into place. That was the only choice I had. So for 39 years, all the way from starting my company to March 14th, when things just radically changed, I ran a face-to-face training institute where I taught people how to do a particular skill. It's moderating in qualitative market research. I'm also a qualitative market research person, and so I have clients that I do work for. Well, no one's flying, no one's traveling, no one's in an office. So there's no project work, and there's nobody coming to my school, which is in Rockville, Maryland. So I could either close the doors after 39 years and just go out of business, because I got nothing. Nobody's coming, and nobody wants me to go anywhere. Or I'm going to have to, you know, wake up the part where I was coasting toward retirement, stop that train, get on another train called, if you want to be in business, you're going to have to do business differently. So being really comfortable with the way it was is never going to come back again. The way it is virtual. So virtual focus group.
Okay.
Virtual training.
Man, everyone has gone virtual. You and I oftentimes lead very parallel lives, no question about it. And that whole virtual thing, oh my God. It's really interesting. I had on my podcast fairly recently Bruce Feiler, who wrote a wonderful book called Life is in the Transitions. And there are people, you know, who fall in three different categories. One is what they call you know, a big change like this happens, you know, pandemic, whatever, back and forth, could be a relationship change, this and that. And there's the first group are called the long goodbye. No, it can't be happening. Oh, this can't be. I'm going to go to bed. Maybe wake up in the morning and it's all gone. No, it's not. And then you just know, why can't it be like it was before? And it's the long goodbye, dragging this sucker out forever. Then you've got, right, the second thing that happens is the people who just sort of say, okay, well, I accept the fact that it's there. Now I'm going to just muddle through. So it's the muddling through group. And those people just sort of experiment around like, well, let's just try this if that didn't work, you know, back and forth. I remember you were a scream when you were trying to adapt to virtual. So you took all of these in-person, you know, teachings and curriculum, and suddenly you had to do it on a screen. And these are platforms you'd never even heard of before. And it was hysterical. Like there were times when you would point your little, cursor over here, and then the entire screen went black and went, wow, I probably did something wrong. Oh my God, I did the same thing too. And you and I would literally call each other going, okay, wow, we just learned how to use Google Calendar in a big way. And that, a lot of bad things happened with that too. So there you are just kind of playing it back and forth. And it's really all about experimenting and trial and error in that second group of muddling through. And then the third ones just basically rock with it. They just take it and they run. They just go, okay, let's just do it. We're done. And they whiz through the first phase. Second phase, not so bad. And the third, they just run with it. Which one do you think you resonate with most?
Absolutely the third one. And I think part of the reason that's my MO is that to be an entrepreneur, you've got to be a risk taker. You cannot be, you know, let's go slow, let's get all the data and then make a decision. No, there's no time. The business world's moving very quickly. The opportunities come and go very fast. So I don't have time to go, I wonder if I should do some research on, you know, converting traditional classes to virtual. No. I signed on to a course on the online called How to Teach Online. That's the name of the course. It was free. I was thrilled. I took a class. It was asynchronous, so I could take it in the middle of the night. And I actually was going through the modules, and you have to take an assessment to move to the next module. So I took the assessment, and you have to get 7 out of 10, and I got a 4. And I'm yelling at my computer, do you know who I am? What do you mean I got a 4?
Do you know who? Wait a minute now. Let's just say this with some authority. Do you know who I am? I don't get 4s. I'm Naomi Henderson. No, I don't do 4. I get perfect scores. What is up with this?
And it was humbling, Pam. It was humbling because I haven't been a learner in a new environment in decades. You know, I'm the trainer. I'm the teacher. So I had to, you know, step back and go, wow, look to see how come I didn't get at least 7 out of 10, and I missed the nuances. Those little quizzes are not just throwaway quizzes. They actually make you discover if you learned something or not. So I thought, whoa, that was just humbling. But it also taught me to be more compassionate when teaching online, that things are not as simple or clear as they would first appear. So I did learn, and I had to learn fast because in about 2 weeks, I'd teach class. And there was no place to go except get an online course about how to teach a class. So I've had to adapt and adjust sometimes 24 hours, sometimes 2 hours, because there just isn't enough time to, like, take my time and work on it. But I was thinking when we talked about having this conversation about resilience, I realize I have lived a life of resilience, not by choice, just the circumstances of life. My first trip out of the country, I was 5 years old, and I was told to pack a footlocker because my dad was military, and if it didn't fit in the footlocker, it wasn't going on the trip because each child got a footlocker and that was it. So, and then we'd go to some place where I didn't know anybody, And if you didn't want to be the only kid who didn't fit in, you had to quickly figure out, what do I do to fit in? And just when you got the fit in all work, Dad got stationed someplace else. So resilience is the ability to adapt not only to a changing environment, but in my world, to a changing landscape. So 1 year is Okinawa, the next year is Bakersfield, California. There is nothing in common with those two places except me. So the resilience that I learned as a child to adapt to the changing environment is also useful in the business world. I just thought I was at the end of having to do it, Pam. I thought it was over.
It's sort of like, well, wait a minute now. You know, one of our favorite books, The Four Agreements. Yes. Okay. And that it goes right to what you just said. I thought it was over. All right. Mm-hmm. So the third agreement of the four is rein in your expectations. Don't mm-hmm. expect. Just hope. So you hope that you don't have to keep reinventing yourself throughout life and having to go through these big transitions and showing such high levels of resilience. But guess what? There's only two things you could definitely expect in life. Being taxed and dying. Okay, those are like givens. Boom, we're done. Okay, everything else is, you know, up for grabs. And so, you know, people, that's why when I hear, well, I expected you to love me because you're mm-hmm. my fill in the blank, you know, husband, mm-hmm. best friend, I don't know, whatever the issue is. And it's like, girlfriend, what are you talking about? Expect. Where'd you get that from? No, what you say is hope. You know, I hope it's going to be lovely tomorrow, but they don't pay these weather guys enough to get this thing right. But, you know, it's just, you know, you kind of go to that place. Let's explore some more women's radical rules to rock resilience. So, you know, really, honestly, we've looked at the pivoting. We've looked at adapting and adjusting because we know that life is so, it's really dynamic. It's a living, breathing thing. It's all about the journey, bag the destination. That's sort of a big joke anyway. One of the things I like to do sometimes is do something difficult each day for no other reason than the fact that it's difficult. It's like I'm honing my skills. I'm taking my biceps and I'm lifting a heavier weight to just see, you know, kind of test myself, my mettle, and to be able to see, you know, if this will help strengthen me per se. And this could happen at multitude of different levels. You could try a new class. You could try, you know, hitting that hill, run it, walk it, you know, hike something, do something where you're way out of your comfort zone and just sort of see where you're at. When's the last time you did something like that?
Actually, quite recently. So with COVID.
I knew you'd say that.
Exactly. With COVID, getting a repairman to come to your house is nearly impossible. I actually had Verizon, the phone people here, and we talked through an open window because he wasn't allowed to come into my house. So that was just a strange moment. But I had to teach myself using a YouTube video, not my go-to resource for much in life, how to fix my dishwasher. Because if I didn't fix it, I'd be hand washing dishes, and we are so not going back to that place. So I got two YouTube videos, played them both, went back to the one that I kind of got where they were going, and I had looked up the error message that led to the problem on the dishwasher. It took me an hour, but I did exactly what the video said. I had to play it two, three times on the phone to get it, and then I did what it said, and you know what? I fixed the dishwasher. Now, the problem wasn't mechanical. It was a clogged filter problem. But I would have called a repairman before that, and then he would charge me $350, and he would have cleaned it the way I did with Clorox and a toothbrush. So I'm thinking, wow, and I felt so powerful that I had to learn something if I didn't want to have the drawback of washing my own dishes. So
I love it. I love it. I'm just visualizing. I'm sorry. I'm visualizing you like kneeling there on the floor doing the whole toothbrush thing and the rest of it. Seriously, I am so bad at that stuff. It's almost laughable. We should do a YouTube video sometime of me trying to do something like that. It's just not in my wheelhouse. It could be. It's just, it would take me from now until, you know, Christmas to be able to get it done on in a big way. You know, there's another radical rule to rock resilience also. And that's really comes out of one of my favorite quotes from Albert Einstein. In the midst of difficulty lies opportunity. And really, quite frankly, there's a great title of a book by a millennial. I just hate it when millennials are this smart. But there it is nonetheless. And the title of the book is, The Obstacle Is the Way. The obstacle is the way. See, I think everyone out there in, the Her Podcast land, is probably sitting back going, oh my God, you're absolutely right. I mean, It again, Robert Frost, I'm like quoting my brains out today. I'm way too much coffee. And that is, the way out of this is the way through it, from Robert Frost, the great poet. And so this young millennial, Ryan Holiday, ran with it, and he called his book The Obstacle Is the Way, which I highly recommend, by the way. And you know what it is? It's like, listen, there's something happening here. It's all funky. It's looking like almost adversity, big challenge here. Walk into it. That's what I say. Just walk into it. Come on. You could chop it up into small bites. Let's figure this out. Let's solve it. And most importantly, you know what you and I almost always do? I'll give you some funkadelic thing that just happened to me. And you'll say, okay, the lesson here is, or the opportunity to learn is, or if you want to get really crass about it, there is a pony in the midst of that big mountain of you know what. Okay, so, and you're always looking for that lesson. And I love that because it turns everything into something that is like, okay, funky things happen here. What are we going to learn? Where's the wisdom? And how are we going to apply it going forward? So the whole thing literally has a positive spin. So there you're turning difficulty into opportunity, right?
I do. And I'm reminded of a quote by Tony Robbins, the motivational speaker. He says, when you lose in life, something doesn't work out like you planned, don't lose the lesson. And that has pulled me out of some very dark places, not only in personal life, but in the business world, which is, wow, that was really terrible. That was a really bad thing. Okay, what's the takeaway? And how do I make sure I use that when I do my planning going forward? So in the business world, when you make a mistake, you know, it could be tragic. You could lose the business. You could lose a great client. You could lose your revenue stream. Kind of like pretty much all that happened to me in COVID-19. And I'm thinking, you know, this better be a really good lesson because I'm really having a hard time struggling through it.
It's like, where the hell's the lesson in this stuff?
Exactly. Yeah. But I was reminded by that childhood message from parents that said, when a door closes, a window opens. So the doors were slamming shut, you know, no revenue, got to make payroll for 7 people, no clients. Nobody's traveling to take class. Okay, I got the lesson, which is, are you going to fall down with this or get on with it? That's one of the lessons. And then it's like, well, what's possible? Then another quote pops up. What would you do if you knew you could not fail? And I thought, I got nothing to lose here. I'm already at the lowest ebb of business ever. So you know what? Let's try virtual. Let's give it a shot. Let's take the materials that are already in place, recast them in a virtual world, strip away anything that's nice but not necessary, and let's get this sucker up on the platform and teach somebody. Posted the notice, hula, people signed up for a class.
So, and all of a sudden, the phone is ringing off the hook, and right? You're now, what you did was something important, and that is another radical rule to rock resilience. What you actually did was you reinvented yourself. You recreated a new narrative, and you have now a new normal. This is why when I asked you about those three phases, you know, the long goodbye, the muddling through, the let's get on with it already, you're the let's get on with it already type, because your mind was already wrapped around the fact that, you know something, failure's not an option. We got to rock and roll here, and we're going to figure this out. Now, there'll be a little funky time. There was some daytime drinking, wasn't it? Didn't you do a little daydreaming?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Never do that.
girl, we're talking about Prosecco. You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Make it sweet when you can. There you go.
Right.
And so I watched you throughout that whole thing, and oh my gosh, and I had to do the same damn thing. It was hysterical. I would have all of these keynotes that I was going to fly somewhere and do on a stage and just do my usual gig that I've been doing for so many years. All of a sudden, I get these emails saying, well, your keynote's now going to be on a platform. I say, what? And what you're going to do is you're going to use a platform you've never heard of before that's impossibly hard to understand, but you're going to make this sucker work. And I'm like, oh, my goodness gracious. So do something difficult each day for no other reason than it's difficult. Mm-hmm. Well, I was doing something difficult each day because I had no choice. So I'm sitting there going, platform, okay, use this template. Do it this way. And by the way, your 50-minute keynote is now 20 minutes long. And how do you do jokes from a stage that doesn't exist? Okay, well, that's weird. And then I thought, wow, all right, so I'm going to make this work. So I pivoted around everything. And actually, it was kind of an interesting experience. I could say interesting only because it wasn't like outstanding. It was interesting. It was just another, that's code for, oh my God, what have I gotten my ass into now? But it was good. And so there you are. So we went ahead and we kind of did this thing. Again, we're learning new lessons. We're getting all of this right. Love it, love it, love it.
One of the things that I was doing, and this is not my MO. When I'm writing curriculum or teaching a class, I really want to make sure that I'm giving 130% of what's wanted so that my students or my clients are served. I don't want to just, you know, throw something out there and have it be good enough. No, it needs to be superior because that's just my MO. So what I was doing was writing curriculum at night and teaching same curriculum 12 hours later. There was no time to pilot test it. There was no time to discuss it. There was no time to see, was there a better way to do it? No, all there was write it tonight, teach it tomorrow. That is not my MO. But it was what was called for in the moment, and you do what's called for in the moment. I do believe that's a heartbeat of resilience, which is whatever you got.
So, Naomi, what you're really talking about is faking it till you make it. And you know, it's not like you had a whole lot of choices here. You weren't going to say, hey, dude, listen, I can't do this. Wait for about a month, come back. No, there went the income flying out the window. Instead, it was like, sure, anything you want, I'm on it. Oh my, tomorrow morning, not a problem. Done. And then you hang up and you're like, oh my God, what have I just done? And then you say, okay, dinner, forget it. Life, forget it. Shower, not happening. And then you just do your little gig. And then later on, what do? Face plant. How many times have you told me by text, I just face planted at 3 a.m? How many times? Seriously.
Probably in the time of COVID, probably 15 times. Because I had to stay up late at night to write the curriculum that was due the next morning. And then I had to put a lot of eye makeup on to look like I didn't stay up all night. But yeah, a lot of all-nighters to do all-dayers.
Oh my God. And there it is. So if you wanted to impart some amazing Naomi wisdom to our fabulous Her podcast audience about resilience, choose one thing right now and just throw it out there like a nugget.
Around the issue of resilience, you can't have any self-talk that comes from I can't. It comes from I can and I will find a way.
I love it. I love it. In other words, it's not even an option. It may float through your head for about 5 seconds, but it's not really an option. We're just going to kind of go to the get her done place, and we're going to be able to figure this out. And that's part of that little bit of that muddling through, like we'll figure it out. It may be a little funky in the beginning, but just this attitude of just finding a solution, even if it's not the solution. One of the things about women, and listen up, girlfriends out there, you tend to be perfectionists. And so if it's not perfect right out of the gate, then you're petrified. Oh my God. And you're paralyzed. So perfection equals paralysis. Don't go to that place. Loosen up here a little bit. Take some deep cleansing breaths and say, you know, I'm going to do my best under the circumstances. Let's sort of see where this goes. Let's build upon this. And don't be berating yourself doing a coulda, shoulda, woulda, or I'm an idiot. And no, that's potty mouth on yourself. Don't do that. And simply say, that didn't work. Okay, well, do you realize that learning that something didn't work is as valuable as learning that something did work? You realize they're equal. They're both informing you of something incredibly important about how you're going to cope with challenges and adversity in your own life. So, you know, bag the fear part and just be strategic, thoughtful, take a moment, rein in your impulsivity, your irritability, and your impatience, and just see your way through it. Little step by little step. Is that kind of where you were going, Naomi?
Absolutely. And give a little grace and compassion to yourself. All of this need to be resilient is always going to be new every time you do it. So some grace with there's going to be a mistake. Use the learning. Keep going.
And be self-compassionate. You know, you taught me a beautiful phrase a while ago that you had learned from someone else. And it was, you know, to wake up in the morning and throughout the day, keep saying, I feel blessed and grateful. I just feel blessed and grateful.
Amen.
And listen, honey, girl, amen. girl, the older you get, you add a little something else, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you go, wow, I'm still here. Son of a gun. I'm still here to even feel blessed and grateful. Okay, we're going to start from that little place and sort of rock it.
And then go up.
Yep. Oh my gosh, definitely. I absolutely love it. Naomi, I just feel like we've been hanging out and oh, look, we have all these people listening to us as we just sort of pulled up a chair, had a cup of tea because it's that time of day, and we talked about a woman's radical rules to rock resilience. Everyone out there, it's been Dr. Peak talking to her BFF, Naomi Henderson, about all things resilience. I cannot tell you how wonderful it is to celebrate our 290th episode together. You and me, Naomi. Go find a BFF out there, ladies. Go find a BFF and go celebrate today. 290 episodes. Woohoo! I'm doing the happy dance. I hope you are too. All right, now listen, everyone out there. Take a minute to hit iTunes and rate and review the show because we're sitting here just waiting to hear from you, especially me, because I'm Dr. Pam Peak. I'm host of the Herb Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peak or Twitter at Pam Peak MD or Instagram at Pam Peak MD. And remember to catch every single episode of the Herb Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today. Stay safe and stay well.